Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. How are you feeling? These days, it's not just a polite question. The pandemic and all of the things that have come with it have impacted our mental health. Late last year, infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci said the next pandemic will likely be the mental health crisis. So how do you know if you're just feeling sad or a little down or not feeling depressed? What are the signs and what can you do about it? Well, we have answers for you and help if you need it. My guests are LaPortia Johnson, founder of Black Girl Health, and licensed therapist Joseph Williams. If you want to talk about this, if you need some help, if you have any questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. LaPortia, thanks for joining the conversation.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Joseph, good to have you on the program again.
Thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you. Great conversation.
So let me ask you, Joseph, is it possible for someone to be depressed even if they don't believe that they are, if they don't feel sad or that they don't have the blues?
Absolutely.
How?
Absolutely. So based on diagnostic impressions, sometimes, you know, we are often, you know, we kind of think that feeling sad, feeling down, that's the first sign of depression, but it can also be a change in your behavior, changing your diet, sleeping patterns. Irritability, from my experience, has been the major symptom with most of the clients that come in my office in the last 6 months. It starts with irritability, where you lose the motivation, you start to be touchy about different things, and then your pattern starts to change. A lot of times these things can come about based on circumstances and situations and the way you're thinking. And usually the sad part of it is the last part that they identify. But in the beginning, the clients that I've worked with, it started off from irritability.
But how do we know? Because right now, everything and everybody, because of the pandemic, because of the weather, we've been shut in. Yeah, okay, everything is getting on our nerves. But can that still be defined as depression? I mean, you know, okay, I get it where, you know, right now things are bothering you. You could say, who put this floor on the floor? You know, I mean, but does that mean that you're depressed? Joseph.
Oh, you're asking me. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm also wondering, is short attention span a sign that they're
No, absolutely not. So this is it. This is the point that I was trying to make. So basically, so it all depends on time and intensity. How long has this been going on and how intense are your symptoms? You know, sometimes we can fall into a space of irritability where we start to isolate ourselves, where we don't want to be bothered with people. And I should have clarified that. I think what happens is that, you know, you can start to get into a space where you don't want to be bothered. You're not answering your phone. You're shutting people out because of the way you feel and because of the way you're thinking about things. And so that's where it usually starts. So how long has it been going on and how intense are your symptoms? Has this been going on for a week? Has this been going on for 3 weeks? Has this been going on for a few months? And then that will indicate. A lot of people have been having these brief spurts because you have to remember depression presents differently. So there's different forms of depression. So usually when people on the street be like, oh, I'm depressed, this happened, they're usually referring to like major depressive disorder within the, you know, past 3 months. Something happened where your patterns changed. You became very isolative. You may experience some feelings of sadness, emptiness. You lose motivation. Your sleeping patterns are off. Either you're sleeping too much or you're not sleeping at all, or you're eating a lot or not eating at all. You lose interest in the things that you once enjoyed. Those are parts of major depression. But then you have something called persistent depression, which is like, it might be a mild depression. You may have high moments where you're okay, but then you slip down. Right. And then you can have like a major depressive disorder recurrent, where you slip down deep into the depths of sadness, isolation, then you come out of it, then you go back, and it may be something that's been going on for years. So that's the those are the different types of depression, and then they can come and go. And I believe that this is what I tell everybody. Depression is a result of you thinking about something, which is causing you to behave a certain way. Something is in your mind, which is causing you to think about it all the time or think a certain way about it, which is now starting to impact your behaviors. Right. And I know it's, you know, a lot of clients tend to get offended when I say this, but I'm like, change your thoughts and your behaviors may change. And I know that's easier said than done, but it's what's in your mind, which is causing you to behave, causing you to feel things, you know. And so, like I said, sometimes you can just have a moment of sadness where it can, you know, lift, or it can be something that just comes in a wave where you get hit with something and it keeps you there. And as I tell my clients all the time, you have a right to experience those emotions. You have a right to be in a space where you don't feel so okay with things, but you do right. not have a right to stay there because that's not fair to you as a person. Mm-hmm. And with all that's going on today, you know, with the pandemic, you know, a lot of us have been kind of pulled away from our normalities. And a lot of us have had to sit with ourselves. So sometimes we notice everything. Oh, my God, I got lash lines. Oh, my God, my hair is thinning. Oh, my God, I'm fat. You know, you're starting to realize, oh, it's snowing outside. I don't have a man. Ain't nobody here with me. So we look at ourselves and we're like, what's wrong with me? Okay. What's wrong with me? And I say it's okay to question those parts, but don't immerse yourself in it where it keeps you stuck in a space. Also, I want to say this. Depression may not have to do anything with sadness. Some people act out when they're depressed.
I see.
I've had clients that sleep around when they get depressed. I've had clients that spend extra amounts of money when they get depressed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've had clients jump off on the deep end with conversations with people, break up relationships because of depression. And so it's not always the space of sadness, being down. I don't want to talk to nobody. It can be that you're on a tear where you're, you know, cutting relationships, cutting people off, going through this, and then you slip further down in your depression because you're like, oh, I can't believe I just did that, or oh, no one's calling me now, you know.
Okay.
So
yeah.
It's so different for everybody.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about signs of depression, even if you don't feel what you would think would be depressed. So, LaPortia, first of all, let me say I'm glad to hear that high, hearty belly laugh from you. That, you know, that's always, you know, a good sign. But, you know, but with that said, you know, just last week, you know, there was a report that said that women have been impacted the most when
Absolutely.
It comes to their mental health in this pandemic, and particularly single mothers. But just from a black woman's perspective,
right.
You know, how are you doing in your black girl health constituency? What are you hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gosh, there's just so much that I want to hit on. One, black women, the black population, obviously the black community is already disproportionately affected by mental health, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. Especially with COVID, hearing the numbers about the life expectancy dropping, and then, you know, making us, we're at even greater risk due to our economic disposition and our environmental disposition. Then you put in black moms, right? Then we narrow that focus to black moms, which you just mentioned. I know many of you may have heard of the Superwoman syndrome, right? So with us black moms, we take on so many different roles, everybody, right? Our husbands ain't acting right. They don't want to be healthy, and we're trying to care for them, our children. Everything is mom, mom this. And we don't say no, right? We take on everybody else's roles and ours, and we don't say no or even ask for help because it's just a sign of, you know, we don't want to – I don't know if we necessarily don't want to seem weak, but we want to be like, okay, we got it. It's just that strength, like culturally, just how we are raised, just like, just take care of it, multitask, and we're going to keep it pushing, right? and at some point, though, that, you know, becomes mentally exhausting and taxing, and we don't even, you know, we don't even know it. And then we're like lying in bed one day and we can't sleep. And then we find ourselves all the symptoms that were mentioned, irritability and, you know, can't focus and snapping at people and, you know, starting to we wonder why, like, you know, our heart is beating fast and we're having all these anxiety attacks because we've been taking on so many roles and becoming so overwhelmed and we don't know how to say no. And then we have issues and we have, you know, because we have totally neglected our own care and have cared for everyone else and taken on everyone else's stress. Mm-hmm. So I hear that time and time again. And that's why, you know, we've, you know, that is part of our focus in Black Girl Health, in our sisterhood, to make sure that we, have a platform where Black women can, you know, they can vent and they can be inspired and empowered to do for themselves and put themselves first.
Talk to me, if you can, LaPortia, because I know that Black Girl Health, and it can be found online, by the way, at blackgirlhealth.com, you have an event coming up real quick.
Yes.
Tell me about that and how people can get the information.
Yeah, so we talk about the Superwoman Syndrome and we talk about Black women putting themselves first. So we're actually partnering with Howard University and Howard University Lewis Stokes Library and the National Network of Library of Medicine to put on a series of mental health workshops this Saturday, actually. This Saturday, virtual workshops.
Awesome.
And this series of mental health workshops target certain, you know, certain topics. We're talking about certain things. We're going to be talking about racial trauma, racial injustice, because all of that impacts our mental health. Everything that we've seen in 2020, everything we went through in 2020, you know, we're going to be talking about that in solutions. The mental health disparities, you know, my brother here, we're talking about recognizing that we have a mental problem, but we also, I mean, in terms of, it's one thing to recognize, but it's another thing to actually get treatment, right? It's another thing to actually go to get treatment and not fear of getting, you know, treatment. And then, I mean, finding the treatment that's right for us. So we're going to be talking about those things.
When is it and how can people find out, sign up?
Yes. So it is Saturday at 11 o'clock. You can register at mindsmatter.blackgirlhealthfoundation.org.
Say that again for the people in the back.
Yeah, for the people in the back, right? It's totally free. It's mindsmatter.blackgirlhealthfoundation.org. mindsmatter.blackgirlhealthfoundation.org. It's Saturday at 11 o'clock. You can see it. You'll be able to see it on our Facebook page and the Howard University Lewis Stokes Library Facebook page. So Our Facebook page is Black Girl Health Foundation, and you can also see it on the Lewis Stokes Library Facebook page as well.
Okay, and we will certainly mention that again before the end of the program. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about mental health during the course of the pandemic. Are you depressed even if you don't think you are? Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Ty calling from D.C. Quickly, Ty, what's on your mind?
All right. How are you doing? I'm a first-time caller, I suppose. And I caught the message going on, and I just wanted to speak on it a little bit.
Go right ahead.
Okay. just to give you a little bit of information, I'm just like I was a single dad. I guess you could say I was engaged twice and married once. So kind of having a partner or someone there that's, you know, like a spouse, seeing you go through your changes kind of opens your eyes to what's going on around you. And just from having family experiences and having some experience with my grandmother, you know, losing her daughter with her illness of dementia and bipolar, and then having that brother suffer from bipolar as well, and suffer those episodes you mentioned where it would kind of fall deep and get stuck there for a while, mm-hmm. to the point where it was a seasonal depression mm-hmm. from pretty much anywhere from between fall to February. The month of February was birthday month. Mm-hmm. You know, he could go to a dark rabbit hole, where, you know, especially grandmother passing in November and his birthday.
So, Ty, let me interrupt you for just a moment because I've got to take a break. And I want you to hold on, but I'm going to need you when we come back to you. I'm going to have to give you a chance to wrap up your point. We have a lot of folks on the line who are seeking help, and I want to make sure that we get to as many people as we possibly can. So hold on, Ty. We're going to talk to you in just a few seconds. Also, Delma calling from Northeast DC. We're going to be talking to you as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Don't forget, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. Make sure you download the app from Google Play or the Apple Store to hear the program in its entirety. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're asking, are you depressed and just not aware of it? What are the signs and what can you do about it? We have answers for you and help if you need it. My guests are LaPortia Johnson, founder of Black Girl Health, and licensed therapist Joseph Williams. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we will pick up the phone and get to you. And don't forget, you can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before the break, we were talking to Ty calling from D.C. So, Ty, what is your question or concern?
Well, in a general sense, I'm just basically saying that it's curious to me that, you know, we aren't taught these kind of mental health things in school, you know, reaching the age 30 and coming discovering that, you know, people in my family had suffered with depression and mm-hmm. and bipolar disorder. I actually was diagnosed with depression myself. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of with the route of being diagnosed but not realizing that's what it was. Yeah. So I didn't mm-hmm. find the right treatment, and the treatment was doing more damage than actual help. So mm-hmm. my question is basically is, and with all the digital age, I have, you know, young children. I'm just not understanding why we don't go through not so much personal relationships and things like that, but mental health and like schooling, not seeing with, you know, I know that some children are, you know, are having a rough time right now, but just teaching them that, you know, the difference between depression and sadness. And I've noticed that my students and my son has been learning more about those things in class with nice. Things going on now.
Joseph, you want to handle that briefly?
Yes, if I may. I think that it's very important that we start to teach our youth about their emotions and how to express them and to recognize when something. I believe that it's extremely important, particularly for our African-American community, both boys and girls, where they can identify that there has been a change within themselves. Most of my experience early on coming out of Howard University was in the school system. And the bigger part for me when it comes to the community is that developmental piece, like your mind and the way you think and the way you feel. So I believe increasingly we need to kind of start making that a thing in the school system, particularly DC public schools and all of the public charter schools, so we can give people space where they can identify their emotions, because a lot of our kids and our African-American community experience trauma. They've been exposed to things, and a lot of times things just happen and they don't talk about them. Their families lose people and they don't have conversations about the loss because they're all trying to work through their own pain. So I believe that it's always important to do those check-ins. And for parents, it's always good to kind of start at home, you know, have a conversation about moods, have a conversation, like they have a feelings chart that you can Google. It's called the feelings chart, where you can teach your children how to identify emotion. And it's usually a bunch of faces, sad, happy, confused. And you can start to have your youth or your child identify what an emotion is, and then they'll be able to explain it and you can have a conversation with them about it. So that's imperative, that the more and more we start to expose our youth, particularly in the communities, about their feelings and their emotions. Yes.
Okay. Ty, thank you so much for your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about mental health and depression. Are you depressed even if you don't feel that you are? Let's go to Delma, calling from Northeast DC. Delma, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I'm glad. I want to say, first of all, thank you for addressing this issue, because it's one that needs to be addressed. I am 62 years old. I've always taken care of from the time I was 13 years old. I learned it from my mom. I lost my mom on December the 24th of 2020. She passed away in my arms. She was 96. I took care of my mom for 10 years. It wasn't an easy task to do, and I did it alone. I did it all by myself before people could spell the word quarantine. I was quarantined. So the pandemic has no effect on me because I'm used to being in the house. And once you're doing this, you lose all your friends. You lose everybody because you're not that party person anymore. And you're just not interested in anything. Mm-hmm. And now that my mom is gone, can I watch how few people as loving as my mother was care? And I am now isolated. I really have lost my lust and love for humanity because I got nothing back from this. And it wasn't so much me when I saw nothing on behalf of my 96-year-old mother and my sister is 71.
Well, Delma,
in a nursing home.
Delma, let me, Delma, if I may, let me see if LaPortia has some thoughts about it, because certainly her focus is the health of women, and I think that she may have some insight, you know, for you moving forward, and certainly Joseph, you may want to chime in as well, LaPortia.
Definitely. Well, I apologize. My condolences go out to you and the loss of your mother, and in terms of like how you, it seems like you're struggling and trying to move forward after the loss because you have given her everything. She was your everything. You were her superwoman. You were doing everything for her. Now it's like, it's hard for me to even go on. What do I go on for? I don't know, you know.
Delma?
Because my children are grown. I have 3 grown sons, and they're all doing well. It's just me, the dog, and the turtle.
Joseph?
I don't know if you want to chime in,
if she's there, I just want to say this to her. I apologize for what you're experiencing right now, and I understand that isolated feeling, and if it's in you and you want more for self, you can gradually start to, you know, look into those things and experience those feelings that you've had before you've actually, you know, cared for your mother. You did a job well done. You raised children who are all independent, and now it's your turn. So whatever that seems to be for you, you don't deserve to be isolated at this point. So those things that you once enjoyed, it's okay to now start looking at those things and figuring out what you can do to kind of gradually bring yourself back in, even if it's in a safe manner. Play some music in the home because of the pandemic. You know, you can start identifying with those memories that you had when it was a better time for you. So my heart goes out to you and your loss, but I want you to understand that the strength that is within you, you can pull from that and you can bring yourself to a space of light. And so you have to want it, and it's okay to talk about it, but it's not okay to stay there. So pull from your strengths, because you deserve to be in a happy space at this point now.
And I also think, Joseph, this might be Selma.
Yes, and just one thing I would like to add.
Surrounding yourself with people who love you, even like-minded people, you know, finding something that you're passionate about, other people who are passionate about those things, being around people, so don't feel like I'm just going to isolate myself and not, you know, want to talk to anyone. Talking and being around people is therapy. And that's kind of, I mean, what our sisterhood is about is there are other people who are going through the same thing. And you know, there's therapy in, you know, sharing your experiences, talking about your experience, talking about the way you feel with other people. So I just encourage you to not go in and like quarantine in within quarantine, if that makes sense. But try to go out and talk to people virtually. There are so many groups, Black Girl Help, obviously, in our sisterhood, joining our sisterhood. We're there, but other groups that you may like, finding your passion. There's groups that are passionate about the same thing that you are, and start to talk about it and socialize even in a virtual way. So that is
Joseph, if I may, Joseph, I think if you might be able to suggest where she may need to go for grief counseling, because as she says, she had her mother for 62 years. Grief counseling may be a way to start. You describe your mother as a wonderful person, and that is a blessing that a lot of people do not have, to have a wonderful parent for their entire life.
My mother and my father.
Yes.
If everybody had a mother and father like mine, the world would be a different place.
So let me, Joseph, briefly, before we let her go, might you offer some resources for grief counseling? Because the difficult thing is being around people, because we are still in a pandemic, and so being around people still may be a difficult thing. What do you suggest?
Yes, there are tons of resources for grief counseling in Washington, D.C., and without naming any of them, I can definitely I can suggest community counseling, the Wendt Center for Loss, as well as a bunch of other private therapists that you can reach out to. But the Wendt Center for Loss is one that's been I've utilized in the past. It's on Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue in Washington, D.C.
Is that W-E-N-T?
W-E-N-D-T Center. William Wendt, that's William, W-E-N-D-T Center for Loss. They're located at 2041 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue Southeast, and they're really good. They're a wonderful resource to talk to about loss and getting over the loss. We also have one called the Kennedy Counseling Collective, which is located in Petworth. And they close late at 8 p.m. So all you have to do is link yourself for services, and they give you a space where you can do individual sessions or groups to actually talk about your emotions and finding light through some of this darkness.
So I will make sure that both of those resources are posted on our website on whur.com. As always, the podcast is posted before 9 p.m. The links to the William Wendt Center, as well as the Kennedy Counseling Collective, and of course the event that is going to be held with the Black Girl Health Foundation. So all of those resources will be posted, as they are every night before 9 p.m. on whur.com. Delma, our condolences to you, and certainly, you know, we want to wish you the best mental health, and thank you so much for sharing such intimacy with us. We appreciate your time. Sure. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about mental health specifically tonight. Depression. Do you
Can
feel
I add something?
Oh. Yeah, please do. Go right ahead.
So I want to say this. I say this all the time to some of my clients when we talk about depression and anxiety. I usually say this, and I found this to be quite useful. I say depression and anxiety are first cousins that look like siblings, and they can both get on your nerves, and they can take turns getting on your nerves. So just like my sister just said, you know, you can be in a depressive state but then start having anxiety attacks. And so they kind of go hand in hand, and they take turns. They look alike, but they're actually cousins. And so sometimes in a depressive state, you can start to become anxious, racing thoughts, panic attacks, which is a result of thinking ahead of something, thinking ahead of yourself, thinking about a negative result of something or something that has not happened yet. And it can take you in a whirlwind. And then usually, even with having anxiety, it's the same symptom of symptomology, like, you know, lack of sleep, loss of appetite, loss of interest in activities, lack of motivation. You know, they kind of play the same key sometimes. And so, you know, you have to be able to identify. And I keep pushing therapy. And a lot of times, you know, within our community, there are some therapists who will just push pills on you. But I believe the pills are not, the pills are like a Band-Aid over a bleeding wound. A lot of times you have to be able to open up and unpack those things. And as time go on, and I'm going to say this to Black men, increasingly, I'm getting more and more African-American men clients, and they've been really open to services. And just part of my, you know, desire to help the community, when they talk, I listen. And there's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of toxic masculinity that was placed upon them that actually came from women, where a lot of my clients that have come in depressed and anxious, a lot of their manhood has been pushed upon them and tied to success, wealth, money, and stability. And so when they don't have these things, they tend to slip into depression, or they don't see themselves a certain way. Their self-esteem is impacted. They don't feel good about themselves and their accomplishments or what they don't have. So that's where a lot of the depression has come from the men that I've worked with, where they feel like they're being told to fit into a standard that they don't have an idea of, based on what society tells them, based on what mama has said. One client has told me that he came to his mother emotional about some losses, and the mother said, "You almost 18 years old, you a man, why are you crying? Get over it."
But that, you know, but let me say, but Joseph, you know, I think it's going to, this kind of thing is not going to be solved in a generation.
No.
Particularly when it comes to Black men, and LaPortia spoke about the superwoman issue. It is the same thing, and to look at it on social media, that, you know, the toxic masculinity issue, I would argue even more so than the superwoman complex, is certainly, you know, problematic, because men listen to women, whether it is directly or indirectly.
Yes.
Absolutely. And actually, I'm glad to hear that you're seeing more men who are seeking therapy, you know, because it's already hard in general to get Black men especially to go to the doctor just for medical care, right?
You better preach.
Right. And just to, you know, just to hear that, you know, they're seeking therapy, you know, and that, to me, that's already a sign that we're moving in a good positive direction, that they're seeking help from a provider. And so I'm just glad to hear that, because that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even with the superwoman syndrome, as someone who's got most of his knowledge teaching everything from Black women, even in this field of therapy, the first thing that I always do with all of my female clients, the word I try to avoid is strong, because that's like a sometimes that can be a weight on them. I want to create a space where they can say, it's, I don't feel like being strong right now. And I'm like, okay, we don't have to be that way. Until they mention strong, that's when I mention strong, because that can be a trigger. Because to say you have to be strong means like you can't deal with it. You got to move past it without actually facing it. And so that can be a trigger for a lot of our sisters and our brothers saying, well, you got to be strong. And like I say all the time, it's okay. Feelings are not right or wrong. They are just feelings. You have a right to experience them. You know, they aren't. Yeah, they just feelings. And if you say I'm sad today, you have a right to be there. You don't have a right to stay there, though. But it's okay to actually say this is where I'm at right now, and I want to talk about it.
Absolutely. And it's too, like, finding that, you know, that provider that can be empathetic and understand that struggle for a Black woman and for a Black man. Is important, and that's already hard. That's actually hard to come by, you know. So that is even another issue. Just having someone to talk to that understands the plight, the struggle that we're facing as Black, you know, women or Black men. That is something that we also need to, you know, increasing the need for. I mean, what the need for Black providers, Black therapists.
Yeah. So I want to drill down a little bit more on what LaPortia just said, because since March of 2020, at the onset of the pandemic, and we have noticed the deep and very broad impact that the isolation has had on mental health of people in general, and certainly people of color. But I guess, you know, my question is as it relates to relationships, because our last caller, Delma, for example, she said that she was, after the loss of her mother, she feels completely isolated. Now, while everyone hasn't necessarily gone through what she has gone through, but because we have been forced to do this extreme social distancing, and we, you know, single people, we're staying in our homes, we're working from homes, and not having contact. How do you know when you're reaching out to check on someone, they don't respond? How do you respond to their lack of response? Should you assume that there is a mental health issue there? Because I think human nature is, well, they didn't call me back. You know, what's up with that? And I would argue that it may be a lot to ask someone to assume that every person who does not respond the way that they used to respond may be having a mental health crisis or issue. Is that too much to assume that they are having that, Joseph?
Wow. Okay. I've had a couple of police come to my house not too long ago doing a safety check on me. I had no idea that I had my phone on Do Not Disturb. So, nowadays, everybody is.
But see, I know you. You just didn't want to be bothered, man.
I was trying to sleep the night before and forgot to take it off of Do Not Disturb, and literally had the police come over here to do a safety check, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was just friends trying to look out for friends. I think that if you have an established relationship, and one thing that this pandemic has done with me in my own personal life, as well as the lives of the clients that I've worked with, we all need a fail safe. That's what I call it, a fail safe. Who's an ally that we can contact if something's wrong? Even if you don't want to be bothered, can you send me a kite? Can you send me your location? Can you send me something to say that I'm okay or I'm not in a good space? So I think the check-in piece is very important. And I can't say to not assume if someone goes from talking to you to not talking to you. If something like that happens, not even me as a therapist, as a human being, I'm going to ask what's going on. I've known a few people to lose people in the space of they haven't heard from their friend. When we come over there, we find out the person's been in a drunken stupor for several days in their home. And they were just too embarrassed to open up and say that I'm heartbroken or I'm depressed or I'm not in a good space right now. So I think it's always good to have those strong allies around us or people that we've connected with where we can say, hey, something's not right. And who doesn't have a judgmental spirit within them, where we can reach out. So nowadays things are so we don't know. So we always got to have people in place to just do that check on us. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And definitely, I think the double check is, you know, definitely, a solution to make sure that someone is okay. But we, during this pandemic, we're going through there's so much that is happening. And you would think because you're quarantined that people are not, you know, what are they doing? You would think they can't be doing anything. They must be at home because we all quarantined, ain't much to do. you know, but really, especially when we talk about the Superwoman syndrome, and as a mother, I am so extremely busy because I have to, you know, take care of my son, and he can't go to school, or, you know, they're learning virtually now. So you've got to spend more time, you know, making sure that they're doing all their classes. You're the teacher as well. Now you're the teacher. You went from mom and you're the teacher. Your husband is with you. He's working remotely. He's getting on your nerves. I mean,
you mean more than usual.
There's so much going on. People are losing their jobs and stuff. So they're thinking about how to make ends meet, applying for other jobs. I honestly think we're even a lot busier. Than even prior to the pandemic, because everything is, there's so much happening, with people losing their jobs and just the change, and we are having to adapt to a new normal way of life, and that is mentally exhausting, and our whole environment has changed, so some calls may go missed and not answered, and. Mm-hmm.
I think, and I agree. Like, I think that I saw something on social media recently where someone was like, you know, this pandemic has prompted everybody to step outside of their selfishness. You know, sometimes you can say, ain't nobody called me during this pandemic, but who have you called during the pandemic? You know, and so we have to all start being responsible for these connections that we were making with people. And it's easy to be like, oh, I'm so lonely, no one's checking on me. But have you checked in with everybody else? I've had to do that from time to time, you know, where I've gotten busy and my friends have gotten very busy because we're all working remotely and we're all working from home. And so I'm like, you know, hey, it's been a minute. You good? How's everything been doing? Hey, what have you been doing to relax? What have you been doing to get some sun when it was warm outside? What have you been doing to kind of bring sunshine in your home during this winter month? Like, you know, I'm checking in with you to see what's good, you know, outside of social media, you know, because I can post a great moment and be completely in foreclosure in my house and, you have no clue what people are saying and what they're doing now until you do an actual check-in. There's a group of black professional therapists. There's about 8 of us. We actually have a group text, and we all met at a conference years ago. We're all in different parts of the country, and we just send messages to each other every day. Are we being intentional today about setting boundaries with our clients? Are we doing great things to take care of ourselves and our mental functioning as we are expected to help heal others? What's something amazing that you can say that you did today? What's something new that you heard today? Positive. You know, so these are just those little checks that we can do to one another and to the people that we're close with. You know, it's nothing wrong with checking in because this is uncertainty. I've never seen so many Hollywood people and singers and all these people passing away before our eyes. Maybe it was happening at the same rate, but it just seems so real now that, you know, death is always surrounding us. And, you know, the other day I turned on CNN and was like, they don't have any positive segments today. Like, I just had to like turn the TV. And, you know, I didn't even know that there was going to be a snowstorm in D.C. because I'd said, I'm tapping out of the news.
Well, thank you so much. That makes me feel so much better.
Right.
the show that supports you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Harold. I'm very, very loyal and devoted. So, you know, ultimately we have to do these things because these are critical times without driving ourselves crazy either. Yeah.
Well, I think this is, you know, a great place to, you know, to end this conversation, and certainly for those who are listening and who are looking for help, as we do every day, this program will be posted, the podcast, as well as the resource information that we discussed earlier for grief counseling, as well as information about the event on Saturday, which is Minds blackgirlhealthfoundation.org. No, you don't have to remember it because it will be posted on our website on whur.com before 9 o'clock tonight. So I want to thank both of you for this really transparent conversation. LaPortia Johnson and Joseph Williams, I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, February 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.